had to guess. What do you think happened to Nathan Howell?
I have no idea.
Do you think he's still alive?
Please don't make me answer that question.
Five years ago, three teenagers from the small town of Blackwood, Connecticut, started an investigation into a local legend. What they uncovered changed their lives. After the night that Nathan Howell decided to burn down the dead tree, nothing was ever the same. Molly Weaver eventually went away to college. Finally escaping the town, she was afraid she'd never leave. Brian Anderson's health continued its unfortunate decline, and Nathan Howell, within days of his disappearance, once the search teams decided to call it quits, Blackwood moved on. The most popular explanation was that, angry, Stuart Howell's grandson ran away. Despite his efforts to end Blackwood's body count, Nathan Howell became just another missing persons case. My name is David Acosta, and I first heard about the Blackwood podcast in my sophomore year. I'd been majoring in journalism, but I had no idea Blackwood was waiting for me when I first heard the story. A freshman girl told someone her friends back home were dead. She said they died just like so many other people in her hometown. I wasn't the only one intrigued by the story. Molly Weaver became something of a minor celebrity on campus. I doubt most people knew her name, and I'm sure even fewer could pick her out of a crowd, but almost everyone knew about the freshman girl and her dead friends. It wasn't until last year that I decided to track her down.
She was like the only survivor or something, right?
I heard she has a video of them dying.
That girl was in my roommate's chem class, I think.
Really? Do you think I could talk to your roommate?
Dropped out last semester. Just stopped showing up, but I don't know.
I got a lot of this. It seems Molly was constantly at a party with someone's roommate or part of somebody's friend's study group. She was hard to track down. But then...
Are we recording?
I am now, yeah. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's just a little weird.
Yeah, sorry. I'm still, I don't usually record like this.
Do you want to do an audio test really quick?
Oh, yeah. I was about to. Yeah, let me just... Okay, great. We're back on. So, I'm sure you're aware of the rumors going around campus.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I was wondering if you wouldn't mind telling me the true story.
It's all a little bit, complicated.
Well, maybe we could start with how the story got out in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good start. It's a little bit embarrassing, to be honest. I was at this party, and I didn't really know anybody, and I drank a little bit too much, and I guess at some point I blurted out that a couple of my friends back home...
died?
No. I never said that. I never said that they were dead. But just the story, it totally snowballed out of control and...
So if they aren't dead, what happened?
Okay, in my hometown... there's this story. It's about a monster. The Blackwood Bugman.
Okay.
I know. It's a whole thing. But basically, we wanted to know how this story, this legend, got started. And so Brian and Nathan and I, we were... Those are my friends, Brian and Nathan. Honestly, I had no idea what we were getting into.
Molly shared just a little bit about the story. She told me about an old tree in the woods and how for hundreds of years, people had been making offerings to it. Human sacrifices. When she got to the topic of her friends, it seemed to be too much to bear.
And then, you know, Brian just, he wouldn't listen to anybody and he was completely out of his mind and
It's all right. It's all right. Just take your time. All right, the next time you go home, I'll...
Home?
What's the matter?
I will never set foot in Blackwood again.
We left it there for the time being. It had taken me weeks to track down Molly Weaver, and I was desperate for a story to cover, but it was obvious she didn't want to revisit the past. Which is why I was surprised when Molly called me a few days later.
Say that again? Sorry, the line cut out.
We recorded everything.
What do you mean?
I mean, we were trying to figure out why so many people die in Blackwood. So I have audio files of... Yeah, like I said, everything.
Can I listen to them?
That was how I got my hands on the Blackwood podcast.
Hey, David. Just do me a favor when you write about this. Try to make it sound less stupid.
But there was nothing stupid about them. I liked them from the first minute. Sure, there were more than a few moments of teenagers acting like teenagers. Many of which I edited out, but all of them were incredibly endearing. It was hard to listen to these three kids having so much fun together, knowing that some sort of disaster lay waiting for them. Here's one of my favorite moments. It's the earliest recording I have.
Testing? Testing? Yeah, I think it's on. I think so.
Looks good to me.
Brian, we're recording.
I heard. That's very exciting.
Shut up. Pause the game. Come here. I want to figure out the best way to use this thing.
I'm trying to kill Nazis.
Hey, be careful.
All right, here. Just give me. Let me see. Broken. Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Idiot.
Hey, I was using that.
Yeah, well, maybe I should hold on to the microphone. Is that cool?
Fine.
So what exactly do you want us to do?
I don't know yet. But I promise... it's gonna be fun.
I listened to the recordings of the Blackwood podcast in stunned silence. While Molly narrated, while Brian cracked jokes, there were members of the brood watching, listening, plotting behind their backs. Adults scheming about the fates of these three kids who were unfortunate enough to uncover their cult, their secret society. Did the brood do something to them?
A small fire nearly grew out of control in Prescott Park today. But thanks to the local fire department, the blaze was quickly contained. Prescott Park is a popular place for family picnics and nature walks, but thankfully, no one was hurt. A spokesman from the fire crew declined to respond when asked if the fire was the work of an arsonist.
These days, you can get practically everything on demand. So why are you still taking trips to the post office to mail letters and packages, when you can get postage on demand with Stamps.com? Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your desk or home office. Use your own computer and printer to get official U.S. postage for any letter or package, and the mail carrier will pick it up. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale so you can weigh your mail and print the exact amount of postage every time. Not only are you saving time not making trips to send letters and packages, but you can save money by paying exact postage and getting discounts on postage that you can't get at the post office. And Stamps.com is so easy to use. Just click, print, mail, and you're done. It's a must-have for businesses. What a no-brainer. Want to try it out? Right now, you can use our code BLACKWOOD to get a 4-week trial, up to $55 free postage, plus a digital scale. All you have to do is go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Blackwood. That's Stamps.com. Enter code Blackwood.
So I take it you listened to everything?
I did. Yeah, I'm sorry about what happened to your friends.
Yeah, well, it was a long time ago.
Not that long ago. You sounded like you were having fun.
Yeah, we were. We had a lot of fun until we weren't having fun.
What can you tell me about the night Nathan went missing? After he told you he was going to burn down the dead tree.
I kept calling Nathan after he left for Prescott Park, but once I heard about the fire, I thought that maybe it was better not to make contact, let the heat die down a little bit. Oh, God, it sounds crazy now, but I wasn't worried that Nathan would end up hurt. I was scared he was going to get himself arrested or something. And the next day, when I still hadn't heard anything, I called his house.
Is that how you found out he was missing?
No. His mom, Annie. She answered the phone and she sounded totally normal. So I tried to act like I wasn't worried, but when she said Nathan had crashed at Brian's house overnight, I knew something was wrong.
So what did you do then?
I started to panic.
Molly told me she had to choke back tears to sound like nothing was wrong. She didn't want to worry Nathan's mother.
By then, they hadn't announced whether or not anyone was hurt in the fire. So, you know, and Brian, he was... So I didn't have anybody to talk to. I just had to sit around and wait. I waited for them to finally announce that Nathan died in the fire.
But they never did.
No. And honestly, in a way, it was even worse when they announced that they hadn't found anybody. Because then I didn't know what happened to him. I just knew he was gone.
Nathan Howell was unsuccessful in his attempts to burn down the dead tree. I've seen several pictures on social media which confirm it is, in fact, still standing. Search teams were dispatched to find Nathan Howell, but of course they had no luck. They did, however, locate the melted remains of a gas canister in Prescott Park, leading the residents of Blackwood to start a new endeavor to preserve the forest surrounding the town. A new initiative, led by, of course, Walter Anderson. Bit by bit, Nathan Howell faded from memory.
Forest View Psychiatric, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm trying to reach a patient named Brian Anderson. Hello?
Who is this?
My name is David Acosta.
What's the purpose of this call?
I was hoping I could talk to Brian Anderson briefly. I just have a few questions.
Well, I'm sorry. Brian Anderson isn't able to take calls.
Could I maybe schedule a visit?
That's not possible.
Well, maybe you could just pass him my contact information. Hello?
Records show that shortly after the final recording, Brian Anderson was admitted to Forest View Psychiatric Hospital. Forest View has been the subject of more than a few controversies.
I'm coming to you from the front steps of the Forest View Psychiatric Hospital, where we have made what you might call an unannounced visit. Many families entrust Forest View with the safekeeping of their children, their family members, their friends. I've personally been contacted by a recently terminated employee who claims the facilities are not only poorly maintained, they are in fact potentially harmful to many of the patients who unfortunately call this place their home. Let's take a look inside and see for ourselves.
I've attempted to make contact several times, mailing letters, making calls, but unfortunately, all I have to go on regarding Brian's well-being, aside from rumor and speculation, is this.
I visited him once, about a year after everything happened, but not for long. He wouldn't talk to me, didn't say a word.
How did he look?
He looked horrible. He'd lost all this weight. Most of the time, he just kind of looked off in the distance, all foggy. But, you know, there was a couple times that suddenly he just looked straight into my eyes, and it was super intense, and it felt like he was finally awake, like he knew it was me. And then, yeah, well, eventually I had to get out of there.
Brian is far from the only person in Blackwood to suddenly experience a complete and total shutdown. If the private writings of Nathan's grandfather are to be believed, countless individuals have been unlucky enough to end up with bug brain, as Brian called it. The thing I find myself wondering more than anything else is, why him? Molly and Nathan were with Brian every step of the way, but why is he the only one to end up like this? Across all the audio recordings, I never once heard anyone but Brian complain about being bitten. Did he somehow provoke them? Or is there another explanation for how so much of their venom made its way into his system? The brood was dedicated to ensuring the safety of the bugs. Could they have kept a supply of the venom? Two people, Stuart Howell and Brian Anderson, both very close to Walter, both suffering from an unexplained illness, just left to stare out vacantly as the world passes them by. Was Walter somehow to blame? If so, we may never know exactly what he did. or why. The more I learned, the more obsessed I became. I hope you don't mind, but I've been doing a little bit of editing.
What do you mean?
I figured I'd help produce your show. I think I should release the Blackwood podcast.
No. No, God. Oh, I was worried that you were going to do this.
What?
I knew it. I kept telling myself you'd write some stupid little blog post or something, and, you know, even that would probably be too much.
The work you did capturing the story in the first place, it was important to you. You can't just pretend it doesn't exist.
The only reason I'm sitting here is because I pretended it didn't exist.
You don't know that.
I have a pretty good idea.
Just think about it, okay?
Just trust me. You would be much better off if you just packed
I'll
all of this
fine
up. Okay, sure, no, sure, you'll be fine. Okay, listen, whatever. Do what you have to do. Just don't expect me to go along with any of it. And trust me when I tell you that no matter how strongly you think you're going to find answers, do not go to Blackwood.
When you think of the perfect gift, you probably don't think of an electric toothbrush. But the Quip electric toothbrush is one of the most gift-guided gifts of the season. And here's why. It's something they'll use twice a day, every day. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger, and it runs for 3 months on one charge. Quip is the gift that keeps refreshing, with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. You can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure they're never using old, worn out, or ineffective bristles. I've been using Quip for a while now. I just got back from a vacation, and it was the easiest and sleekest toothbrush I've ever traveled with. That's why I love Quip, and why they have over 5,000 verified 5-star reviews. Quip looks like a big-ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price starting at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/blackwood right now, you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/blackwood.
I worked alone for months, cutting and recutting audio, trying to learn anything I could about Blackwood and the people who live there. To many, Blackwood was an idyllic community, full of history, a quaint getaway. To me, Blackwood is an unexplored part of the map, a place full of question marks, doing everything it can to hold the rest of the world at arm's length. Several times I considered traveling to Blackwood, but remembering Molly's insistence that I should stay away, I resisted. Still, I continued to read the local news online, wondering if it was genuinely innocent. Another book sale at the library. Or if every headline was a carefully constructed sentence designed to conceal what really happens there. Most days were the same. Nothing worth reporting was happening in Blackwood. Until 6 months ago. Molly said she wanted nothing to do with the story anymore, but I had to reach out.
Hey.
Hey, it's David. I'm recording. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
I just found out that...
Yeah, Walter Anderson. He's dead.
Yeah.
I heard.
How did you find out?
My parents called me.
What did they have to say about it?
They told me what a great man he was, and 5 seconds later, they changed the topic. Anyway, is that all?
I don't know what I expected. I guess I thought maybe Molly and I might investigate his death together, but...
Sorry. I can't.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. I understand. I did my research alone. Walter Anderson evidently died of natural causes. Almost from the beginning, Molly and Nathan suspected he might be responsible for several deaths in town. Walter lived in Blackwood his whole life. Along with Stuart Howell, he famously revitalized the local paper mill and served on the town council until the day of his death. Despite his carefully constructed persona, Walter was secretly a greedy, jealous person. To most, Walter and Stuart were great business partners, hometown heroes. But there are some who say Walter was more like Stuart's little brother. Knowing now that Stuart was once the leader of the brood, succeeded by Walter, you have to wonder what happened. Perhaps some sort of disagreement, an argument. As Nathan Howell recorded, we have Stuart saying, near the end,
He killed me, too.
The Brood would appear to be responsible for countless deaths over the years. But under Stuart's leadership, they seemingly operated as a force of good, assuming we can trust Stuart's word. It's not hard to imagine a disagreement, a jealousy, festering beneath the surface, bursting out in an act of violence. When I first heard about Walter Anderson's death, I was simultaneously stunned, yet unsurprised. Seeing his photograph next to his obituary, he looked older than I expected, wearing a familiar ring on his hand. When I found out Walter's ex-wife was having an estate sale, I impulsively made contact.
Anderson residence.
Hi, I saw in the paper that you're holding an estate sale today, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I was hoping to make it, but I'm afraid I can't be there in person. I wondered if maybe you could let me know about any books for sale, old journals, that sort of thing.
Well,
money is not an object.
Let me see.
Thank you.
I convinced this person that I was a wealthy collector, and I had her explain to me what sort of things were on sale. A week later, two boxes arrived at my doorstep.
Hello?
Molly, I think I might have found something.
Okay, like what? What do you mean?
It could be nothing.
Okay.
I found out they were selling some of Walter Anderson's old things.
Okay, what did you find?
I don't know. I don't know yet. A couple of boxes just got delivered.
Okay. What's your address?
Molly was in my apartment an hour later.
What is all this shit?
Yeah, there might be some garbage in here, but...
Did you just want my help throwing all this stuff out?
Listen, whoever I talked to didn't have much patience, right? I told her to just send me everything from his desk. Papers, electronics, whatever.
Mm. So how much did you have to pay?
Oh, I'll be eating ramen for a while.
Well, it was definitely worth it.
I couldn't tell you exactly what I was looking for. I thought maybe I'd uncover a clue about Walter's state of mind, find old writings, photographs. Instead, Molly and I were left with a handful of old books and a tangle of wires. But then...
Holy shit.
What is it?
This is one of my recorders.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh my god.
I don't want to get your hopes up.
I mean, who knows? Who knows what could be on this thing?
Well, let's find out.
Okay, yeah. All right, are you ready? Here we go. Do you have any batteries?
Maybe. Let me see.
After all this time, I can't believe it.
Found one.
All right, great. One more.
If you had to guess, what do you think happened to Nathan Howell?
I have no idea.
Do you think he's still alive?
Please don't make me answer that question.
Do you?
I don't understand why he would have left me behind.
If you could have, would you have gone with them?
Of course I would have. God, I feel so stupid now, thinking about how all I wanted to do was figure out if the Blackwood Bugman existed. And as soon as I found out that real people had suffered, had lost their lives, that I was just as stupid as my parents, as the rest of the people in Blackwood. I should have known that we were in danger, you know, but I didn't. Or maybe I did, I was too dumb to stop. And, you know, after Nathan and Brian, you know, I did. I got smarter. I stopped opening my mouth, stopped poking beehives, and I took the first opportunity I had to leave. Truthfully, if I thought Nathan ran away, like everyone else, I would be really happy for him. But I know he wouldn't have left me behind. No. Nathan Howell is dead. And Walter Anderson killed him.
Found the other battery. Are you sure you want to hear this?
Yes.
hell was that?
I have no idea.
Play it again.
I have to go.
What?
I have to go to Blackwood.
David, no.
Will you come with me? Molly, will you come with me? Back to Blackwood.
Play it again.
Molly Weaver, Brian Anderson, and Nathan Howell were just kids when they decided to solve a series of murders. From what I can tell, they got closer to uncovering the secrets of the Brood more than anyone before them. But they paid a heavy price for their effort. I'm sorry to say I have no idea if Nathan is still alive, or if Brian will ever recover. But I'm optimistic. Maybe Molly and I will find the answers.
As soon as we arrive in Blackwood.
From Skylark, this is Blackwood. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NPR One, SkylarkMedia.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Find a link to subscribe to Blackwood and more information on the episode notes. In the episode notes, simply tap or swipe over the cover art. You'll also see some offers from our sponsors. Please support our shows by supporting them. If you like what you've heard, we'd love you to give us a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to tell your friends and show them how to subscribe. The story doesn't have to end here. Be sure to visit SkylarkMedia.com to hear more Blackwood and other Skylark shows. You can even view bonus content, like articles about Walter Anderson's death. Blackwood was directed by Mark Freiberger. Produced by April Lamb. Written by Will Rogers. Story by Will Rogers and Derek Smith. Executive produced by Ryan Hogan, Derek Smith, and Joshua Hawley from Skylark, and Marshall Louie from Wondery. With performances by Becca Walker, Ian Colletti, Cameron Johnson, and Ken Kirby. Co-starring Whitmer Thomas, Sam Buchanan, Luciana Foulhaber, Jesse Hendricks, Nick DeViro, Zara Fazal, and Mark Freiberger. Casting by Katrina Wandell George. Music by Stephen Limbaugh. Audio services provided by Unbridled Sound. Supervising sound editor and re-recording mixer, Brent Kaiser. Sound designer and re-recording mixer, Jacob Gorski. Voiceover recording engineer and sound editor, Tim Preston. Mix technician, Ian Chase. PA services by Isabel Ayer. Production studio, York Recording.